Welcome to a Wednesday drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where for some of us, it's a holiday. More specifically, a Jackson holiday. I'll be here all week. But for many others, it's Masters Eve. That's what today is. The tournament opens up in Augusta tomorrow morning. That means it's time for us to hand out a pick, and here's what we've got. It's finally time for the X-Man to win his first major. Xander Schauffele is going to win the Masters, and here's why. He's had close calls at Augusta. He has a history of playing well in this tournament. He was neck and neck with Hideki Matsuyama a few years ago. Then he dumped one into the drink on 16, and suddenly he falls back a few shots, finishes tied for third in that tournament. Then, you might remember, Tiger Woods winning the Masters 5 years ago. That might have been the biggest event in golf this century, Tiger's win. Did you know that Xander Schauffele was the runner-up in that Masters? He's had a lot of success. Now it's his time to win. Here was Xander on the dreams that he's had as an American golfer of having that green jacket slip atop his shoulders.
I try to force the dream upon myself all the time. you know, they talk about how right before you fall asleep, whatever you're thinking of, you're going to dream about it. So as many dreams of, you know, as I can have wearing a green jacket or someone putting it on me on that 18th green, that's what I try and envision. So, you know, my dad still hasn't played this property. He told me a long time ago, I'm only going to play when you're a member. So that's definitely a goal of mine.
He's playing so well right now, too. So if you're looking for the criteria, has history at Augusta of playing well? Check. Is playing well going into the tournament? Check. He, 2 weeks ago, finished top five at the Valspar. The week before that in the Players' Championship, he was the runner-up. He has top 10 finishes in six of his eight starts this season. He is the Olympic gold medalist in the most recent Olympics for golf. He is in his prime. There's another check. 30 years old. He checks so many boxes. And here's another stat. 7 of the last 9 Masters champs were first-time major winners when they got their green jacket. And among the players who have never won a major, nobody is more due than the X-Man is. He is 5th in the world golf rankings. The players that he trails, Scottie Scheffler, Jon Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Wyndham Clark. What do those four guys have in common? They all have won a major championship and in some cases have won multiple. It is Xander Schauffele's time. In 26 major starts, Xander has 2 runner-ups, 2 third-place finishes, 6 top 5 finishes, and 11 top 10s. None of those 26 he has won until the 27th, Sunday. He's going to be your Masters champion. 8 of the last 10 Masters champs will be first-time major winners when they win as well. You got to find the guy who's due. Xander Schauffele is that guy. He's getting his green jacket. He's completing that dream. He's going to golf at Augusta with his dad when Xander becomes a member for winning this tournament. On X at WSJS Radio, that's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show. I've got my Orioles gear on, given the number one prospect in baseball, Jackson Holliday. He's going to be making his major league debut tonight. How obnoxious am I allowed to be about this?
Considering how good he is, you can do whatever you like.
Okay. Got to be being cognizant of the fact that this show is not in Maryland. It's not just a show where the audience that we're trying to reach is Josh Graham, or else it'd be a 3-hour show all on Jackson Holliday. That's what it would be. Believe it or not, we try to choose topics that the audience cares a lot about, which means let's transition to college basketball. Hoop State and the North Carolina Tar Heels, front and center. A big part of the reason why Hubert Davis was the ACC's Coach of the Year was the work that he did in the portal last offseason. The work he did really just with roster construction. The difficult decision to part ways with Caleb Love, who hit an iconic shot in the Final Four and was the leading scorer on that Tar Heel team that didn't make the tournament a year ago. Reclassifying Elliot Cadeau. The additions of Harrison Ingram and Cormac Ryan and Jalen Withers. It was brilliant, creative, thoughtful roster building by Hubert Davis. And that's why North Carolina took the step that it did. But in order for North Carolina to take that next step from being a top 10 program to being one that can win a national championship, Hubert Davis has some work this offseason. He has his work cut out for him. And it's not because of Seth Trimble's exit yesterday. He wasn't going to be starting at any point in Chapel Hill. So odds are, as is the case for many of the transfers we see across college basketball, he wants to go to a place where he gets more playing time. This is not an NIL concept. This was probably the number one reason people transferred for decades and decades leading up to NIL becoming part of the framework in college sports. You want to go where you want to play. You want to go where you can play. So, sure, there is a financial aspect to this. If I go somewhere where I start, I can get more NIL than North Carolina is willing to give me. Sure, Seth Trimble wasn't going to start. And he also probably saw Drake Powell coming in and seeing a lot of himself in Drake. Top 10 recruit, on the wing, 6'6", bouncy, does a lot of the things that Seth Trimble does well. Drake Powell going to probably take a lot of the minutes we saw from Seth Trimble this past year. That's not a big loss for North Carolina. RJ Davis will be a huge loss. Some kind of read into the Seth Trimble decision is, does Seth know that RJ's coming back? And that's why he decided to leave? I don't think so. It's still likely that North Carolina is going to have to replace RJ Davis. If he wants to play in the NBA, and my feeling in having talked to him is that is his goal, now is the time to go. You get drafted this year after being the ACC Player of the Year and being a year younger than you would be a year from now, and the draft not being all that good this year and it being juiced a year from now. You don't get drafted a year from now. You get drafted this year. What else do you have to accomplish? Oh, a national championship. He's already made a Final Four and extinguished Coach K and won an ACC regular season title. And he's going to have his name in the rafters at the Smith Center. What else really is there for him to do? Not a lot. So when you see this next group of players coming in, that means you're further disconnected from the high schoolers coming in. Do you want to be the old guy? He has had a long-time relationship with Deja Kelly at Carolina. Deja Kelly entered the portal. That might just be another signal that it's time for him to turn the page. A congested backcourt with Ian Jackson, the best recruit since Harrison Ingram in some's minds. You got that in the backcourt with Elliot Cadeau. It's time for him to turn the page. So that should be expected, which means Hubert needs to be in the market for two things. A shooter, high volume, and a five-man. Now, that doesn't mean Jalen Washington might not start. He very well might. But you need somebody who's just as good as Jalen Washington to rotate in there. Because right now, I see four starters. I see Cadeau. I see Ian Jackson. I see Harrison Ingram. I see Jalen Washington. I don't know who that fifth starter is. And then you got Jalen Withers coming off the bench. You got Drake Powell coming off the bench. Those are six players in your rotation. You need a five-man, and you need a legit scorer to get you to eight. And that's what Carolina needs. And the good news is, you don't need to find somebody big of stature the way that North Carolina needed a bigger guard in Cormac Ryan, given how small Cadeau and RJ Davis are. You look at Ian Jackson's build, he's Kobe White height, 6'4", 6'5". So you can find somebody who can shoot at a high volume level, be that type of guy, alongside a bigger guard in Jackson and a smaller guard in Cadeau, and find somebody who can help Jalen Washington in trying to replace Armando Bacot. You might as well call me Josh Fake News Graham, because John Dell walks into the studio and I said, it's been about a quarter of a century that John Dell has covered the Masters. Starting tomorrow, it's going to be number 27 for you, actually.
27 in a row. Yes, that's pretty good in this day and age.
Is that your favorite assignment that you get on annual basis?
By far. The other 51 weeks out of the year, I don't really care what goes on, but the Masters week is a must. It's, you know, it's a tradition unlike any other.
Here's what struck me.
Hello,
about
friends.
It.
Hello.
So they say.
I've missed that voice. Hello, we haven't heard him during March Madness for the first time since the mid-80s, and now we have him starting tomorrow. Jim Nantz on the call, who's going to be inducted into the North Carolina Sports Hall of Fame in May in Charlotte. So, wait, that's next month. I say that as if it's like months away. Crazy how time just passes. Here's what's nuts to me. I was going over in my head with you coming in what the top Masters storylines were for this week, and the first three that I came up with might have been the same top three as a year ago.
Yeah, it's a lot of the same storylines. They come through the Masters each year. Obviously, Tiger Woods.
Let's start with Tiger Woods.
When he's upright, he's got a chance to win.
He has made the cut 23 straight years, trying to make that 24. He's tied for the record. And Tiger is the needle, not just moves it. He is the needle, has been that for a long time. Here's Tiger yesterday on what that streak of making 23 straight cuts in Augusta means to him.
Yeah, I think it's consistency, it's longevity, and it's a understanding of how to play this golf course. That's one of the reasons why you see players that are in their 50s and 60s make cuts here, or it's players in their late 40s have runs at winning the event. It's just not an understanding of how to play it. Now, you still have to go out and execute it, but there's a lot of knowledge that goes into understanding how to play it.
Some say that Jack Nicklaus's 18, that's an untouchable record. To me, an even more untouchable record is if Tiger gets 24 made cuts at Augusta, just by how golf is played today and how things go, that seems to me to be a record that's never going to be approached again.
That'll be hard. That's one of those untouchable ones. You think about these guys that, you know, Tiger at one point, I think, went like 3 years without missing a cut back in his heyday. I mean, that's how good he was back in the day.
Yeah, it was like in the 70s, or actually, did he break 100?
I think something like that. It was in the hundreds.
WD, see if you can find the made cuts record that Tiger Woods set, because
he has that record.
He does. Yeah. Just on the PGA Tour, because that number will dazzle us when we get it.
Well, no, and Tiger, you know, I know Arnold and Jack said when Tiger was 21 years old, he may win 10 of these, you know, he might combine what Jack and Arnold won in 10. So, you know, he surprised us 5 years ago. Now the car accident was a little different animal. If he can win again, it'll trump 2019, obviously. So, you know, the weather's kind of suiting for him, except for Thursday. He likes it, you know, warm, and it's going to be right after these storms blow through. So it wouldn't surprise me if he makes the cut, that's for sure.
That would be really cool if it were the case. And it seems like one of those things, like when he misses the cut, that's when I'd be worried about, okay, what's driving him at this point? If he doesn't believe he can win,
right,
and he doesn't have that record anymore, well, what's driving him? Because for years you've been saying, don't take this for granted. You don't know how many more cracks he's going to have at this.
Well, the other thing that I'd like to ask him, I probably won't get close to ask him, is, you know, Pinehurst kind of suits his game because the holes aren't that far apart. He won't have to walk far. I mean, the holes are right next to each other. So in that respect, it's going to help his body to play Pinehurst number two in the heat that he loves. So that's not a bad little track for him in June.
Yeah, see if you can get that question asked. Even if it's not you,
yeah,
feed somebody who can ask that question. WD, did you find that stat?
Yeah, it's 23 times.
Well, that's the Masters. PGA Tour.
Oh, the PGA.
Yeah. I think it's 120-something.
That's
I could be wrong.
Whatever the number is, you're right. You put that right into the category of no one's ever going to do this again because people don't play the same number of events.
Ready for this? Yeah, 142 cuts. Well,
wow.
142 consecutive tournaments that Tiger Woods has made the cut. How many straight years is that? Four years in a row?
It's got to be. Well, you know, and he doesn't play a lot every year. You know, he only plays 19, 20 times a year, but still, that's an impressive stat.
Yeah, it's insane.
And by the way, when you said he is the needle, the great Ed Hardin was the one I think that came up with.
Got to give him credit. Yes. Ed Hardin. This is Ed Hardin's week as well. We always think of Ed this week. Rory McIlroy is the second story that I thought of. Still looking for that career slam. Every year until he gets it, this is going to be the discussion. But it's kind of remarkable to me that I think he has the second, maybe third best odds. Maybe that's because people want to see it happen. Then you look at the world golf ranking and he's number two. And then you look at how he's played Augusta. Two of the last 3 years, he didn't even make the cut.
Right.
Hard to win the tournament when you don't make the cut.
Right.
I think I'm at the point with him. I will believe it when I see it. I'm not the guy who's ever going to feel comfortable saying the day before a tournament, such as today, this is the year for Rory McIlroy.
He needs to be in the lead on a Sunday, I think. I don't know that he's ever going to come from behind at Augusta.
What does he need to do Thursday and Friday?
Thursday and Friday, he needs to shoot 68-70 and then go on the weekend and see what happens. Because, I mean, I just think that if he stays under the radar, he's got more of a shot. So we'll see who's in front of him.
So don't go 66
tomorrow. No.
So then everybody say, ah?
Yeah. How many 3 days to think about it? No, don't give him any time to think. Just be there on Sunday and see what happens. But it'd be good for golf too if Rory won. He's great. He's one of the PGA Tour guys that's still there on the PGA Tour.
Read John Dell's coverage in the Winston-Salem Journal. You had the golfers to watch that you can check out as well today. The third story is everybody in the sports chasing Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
So last year's champ was Jon Rahm. 2 years ago was Scheffler. So everybody was saying going into last year's tournament, is Scheffler the best in the sport? And yada, yada, yada. He is a heavy favorite this week. Heavy. Like, I was stunned to see where Rahm's number was at relative to Scheffler. So that does feel like the same thing as last year. But do you feel comfortable saying that one guy is head and shoulders over the pack? Because to me, I always viewed it as a tandem. I always viewed Rahm and Scheffler as being those top two currently, even though Rory's in between them in the world golf ranking. How do you see the top tier of golf? How many names are on it?
Well, in Scottie's instance this week, I think his wife's about to give birth, so he may bolt at any time. I think that's kind of the little underlying thing. I don't know how far she's along and all that stuff, but he'll leave in a heartbeat. He's already got his green jacket. He'll fly home if she gives birth. But I think Scottie and Jon Rahm are the two guys right now, with Rory kind of right there.
Next tier.
Justin Thomas is right there, I think. I mean, you just got that the top two guys. But, Scottie, if his putter is on point, nobody beats him this week at Augusta. He's starting to find his putting stroke. And when he's got that, there's nobody that can touch him. And at Augusta, if you're putting well, he's a great ball striker. If he's putting well this week, it's over. I think he'll win again.
Do you have, the same way that many, myself included, have a criteria for the NCAA tournament and picking a bracket, when you're looking at projecting the Masters, do you have a criteria to whittle down the field into guys who could win?
I try not to look at what they've done recently, because the Masters is a different animal.
Sure.
Guys come in, players come in, and it just does something for them. There's a reason Freddie Couples makes all the cuts, because he loves the place. And it's other guys that come in, and maybe they're not on their best game, but somehow Augusta changes when they drive down Magnolia Lane. All of a sudden, they find something.
So Wyndham Clark being fourth in the world and having the great year he had last year, that would not be a guy you pick, considering he's never played Augusta before.
And no one has won Augusta in their first try since Fuzzy Zeller. I think that stat is still there, 1979.
Fuzzy Zeller is a world-class name.
Was the only one, I think, that won in his first Masters appearance, other than when they first, they first had it first couple years of the tournament. But so, if Wyndham is in contention, he can certainly break that, that hex of a first timer. But, I don't ever look at the guys that are there and for the first time.
So Masters track record matters to you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And the guys that love it, they're the ones that you're going to see play well.
And anything else?
I try to look at, a little bit of what they've done in the past. Like you talk about, how well Xander's played. I mean, he's definitely right. He'll be right up there, I think.
That's my guy.
And you look at Will Zalatoris, the Wake Forest guy. Mm-hmm. He's had great success there. The first year he played it, he finished second. a couple years ago. So if his back is okay, he can be right there.
Do you have a pick?
I have a pick, and it was Scottie Scheffler.
So now, Scheffler's the pick.
Yeah, Scheffler's a pick. But if family comes first, then he may not be around by Sunday.
Scottie Scheffler is the pick. I'm going with Xander Schauffele. I'm not going to ask Will Dalton for his pick because he can't even pronounce half the name of the field.
I mean, listen, I'll go with Tiger Woods.
Go with Tiger. I like that. WD, go with Tiger.
Go big or go home.
Let's go. Let's
and
go big.
If I can carry Tiger from green to tee, if he doesn't have to walk, I'll do that just to watch him play.
Ready, set, sports.
Let's go.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
You know that saying in Hollywood, among big stars, do one for them and then one for you. I'll do the big action movie, the superhero movie, but then I'm going to do this passion project that I wanted to pursue. This segment is one for me because I did way too much homework, multiple hours, phone calls, texts, trying to figure out the right ways to bet golf because I hear people saying that golf is the best sport to bet once you figure some things out. Speaking to some experts, doing a bunch of deep diving, which I generally do even before betting was legal in North Carolina, just to pick the tournament year in and year out. Love major championship golf. There's nothing better than that. But one of the things that might be better than that, Jackson Holliday being promoted to the big leagues today. And again, I'm very aware that there are plenty of people that don't follow baseball all that closely. We're in a state that doesn't have a major league team. A lot of people might not care about the Orioles, but when I see our television on in the studio here and when I'm following social media, this is one of the biggest stories in sports. Might be the biggest draw in American sports tonight before the Masters begins tomorrow, because you do have the number one prospect in baseball. And he's the son of a former All-Star in Matt Holliday. That should probably make you feel old, by the way. It certainly does make me feel old. It's always an event when the number one prospect makes it to the bigs, because this is a future star in the sport. What makes it kind of different and special for the Orioles is that he's going to join a lineup with two other former number one prospects across the game that were brought up just in the last 2 years, Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman. It's a completely new day for the Orioles. I don't know what to do with my hand because I'm used to the other shoe dropping for this team and for them doing the cheapest things possible and so worried about service time. Oh, we can't bring Jackson Holliday up right now, even though the Yankees are winning 10 games in their first 12 right out of the gate. No, this new ownership, let's get an ace and Corbin Burns. Let's not worry about service time. Let's go for it. Jackson Holliday is one of the best guys on our team right now. Let's put him on the field. Let's put him at second base. Let's get him out there. He's going to be batting ninth later on tonight. But removing the Orioles piece of this and just focusing on the human element of what we have, man, is there any better place to open your big league career than Fenway Park? Think about that. Even though his dad probably took him to all these ballparks, his dad even played in a World Series at Fenway when he was with the Rockies. I can only imagine you getting to this level and the first thing you see when you're doing BP is that green monster and laugh. Wrigley and Fenway are the two places that I just think it'd be a lot cooler than anywhere else to make your debut. And he's going to be wearing the number 7, the same number that his dad wore. The first time an Oriole is going to be wearing that number since the manager of the team, Cal Ripken Sr., wore it. And the Ripkins gave the Holidays their blessing to allow for Jackson to wear that number. So that's special as well. And that's going to be a main draw tonight in American sports. Jackson Holliday making his debut. The Masters, starting tomorrow is going to be the big draw. I got 7 picks, 7 bets to hand out before we get back to baseball and answering unusual questions with Darren Vaught dropping by in less than 15 minutes. Let's do this.
I'm not a betting duck.
Care to make it interesting?
You know you do.
You're on. Count me in on this.
Your best bet.
But my money's on the other team.
This is Josh's best bet.
All right. Can I throw a quick Jackson Holiday parlay in here to get us started? Yeah. Let's do Jackson Holiday to get a hit. Parlayed with 9 runs over for Orioles Red Sox tonight. Staying away from the result. Cole Irvin's on the mound. I don't feel confident in betting Orioles if he's on the mound. I think a lot of runs will be scored, and I think Jackson Holiday will get his first career hit tonight. Over 9 runs, Jackson Holiday a hit. That's over. That is plus money, plus 117, high-scoring game at Fenway. That's where we're getting started with the parlay there. Now we got 3 picks to win the Masters. Beginning with Xander Schauffele, plus 1,200 odds. No non-major winner is more due to win the Green Jacket or any major than Xander Schauffele is. 7 of the last 9 major champions or Masters champions were also winning their first major when having the Green Jacket put on them. I say Xander Schauffele makes that 8 out of 10. That's my official pick to win the tournament. Plus 1,200. We like those odds.
Send me that cash up, fam.
But we want to spray the board a little bit, WD, because that's how you're supposed to bet golf. You can't just put your eggs all in one basket. Brooks Koepka, he's pretty clear on how he feels about things. If it's not a major, he's not as interested. But when the majors get there, he performs pretty well in them. You got to be a pretty long hitter to have success at Augusta. Few are longer hitters than Brooks Koepka is. And the fact that this is plus 1,200 as well as Xander Schauffele, we like those odds. And we're going to ride with Brooks Koepka as well.
Send me that cash up, fam.
And I have to include John Rahm in a bet to win too, just because I think that the top tier of golf is not one person. It's being presented as if it is one guy everybody's chasing, Scottie Scheffler. But Scheffler won this tournament 2 years ago. Who won it a year ago? Oh, John Rahm did. I think it's the top two in the sport. So the fact that it's plus 400, and if you don't know what that means, it means if you bet 100, you make $400. And then the next drop-off is to 1,100 here with Rahm. I think it's disrespectful to Rahm, and I think the value is actually kind of there for that. So just for fun, to have 3 guys spraying the board for top winners, or 4 winners of the tournament, John Rahm's our 3rd pick.
Send me that cash up, fam.
This is where it starts to get fun, WD, where you're not necessarily picking the winners, but how about top 20? Top 10 seems like too narrow of a scope to finagle. So we'll go with top 20 finishers. And this is where we look at the Wake Forest guys. Will Zalatoris, 2 top 10 finishes in Augusta, withdrew due to a back injury last year. We say that he finishes top 20 this year. He's motivated. His short game has been very good this year, even better than it was before he had his back injury. I think that combination of him playing well at Augusta and him putting it pretty well is going to mean very good things for the Wake Forest alum. You could get that at around plus 130 for him just to make the top 20.
Send me that cash up, fam.
And yeah, we haven't forgotten about Cam Young either. Top 10 finish in the Masters 2 years ago. He didn't make the cut last year, but has performed pretty good in majors. So just to have both Wake guys, this is plus 150 odds for Cam. We're going to go with him as well to finish top 20.
Send me that cash up,
and
man.
Lastly, Corey Connors is always the guy when I turn on a major, and more specifically the Masters. I get mad at the broadcast. I get mad at CBS. I'm like, why am I looking at Corey Connors? Why is it always Corey Connors on my screen? It's way too much Corey Connors. I'm tired of looking at Corey Connors, the Canadian. There's always a Canadian that's hanging around at the Masters, and it's always Corey Connors, it seems like, that hangs around too. So to feel good about having to see Corey Connors on my screen all the time, I'm having him finish in the top 20 as well of the Masters. And I think you'll be rewarded in that too. Plus 180 odds to finish in the top 20.
Send me that cash up, man.
Last bet. Little sprinkle on this because it gives you plus odds for some reason.
Matsuyama, DJ Johnson, or Dustin Johnson, pardon me, DJ, John Rahm, and Scotty Scheffler, all to make the cut, plus 100 odds.
Send me that cash up,
fam. Even odds at those guys simply making the cut. Matsuyama, DJ, Rahm, and Scotty, we like that as well. Those are our best bets for the Masters. I hear that it's the most fun thing to bet. Darren Bott, he's, I think, in here early. Can he hear me? Can he see me?
Yeah, we can get him in here if you want.
Yeah, let's talk to Darren Bott. I hear that that's the most fun sport to bet, so that's what we're going to do. Are you a golf guy at all? WD isn't. He's mispronouncing names left and right. He doesn't know how to talk golf or any of that. We're teaching him. It's a learning exercise here, but I don't know what your view on golf is.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I play it. I've covered it. I can talk a little bit. I can't say I'm a super fan like a lot of people are. It just seems like it consumes a pretty large portion of brain power to do that. But like I heard the names and recognized the names you were talking about. What you said made sense to me. Actually, the golf part made more sense than the gambling part to me.
Betting. That's it. I spent way too much time on that.
Hold on. I don't know the radio because I'm not in it every day. Am I supposed to say betting instead of gambling? Is that a thing?
No, you could say both.
Okay. You were pretty emphatic about that. I just don't know.
I'm not
in it every day. This is all new.
That's what I'm saying. I hear people saying that betting golf is the most fun sport to bet, and I haven't done it. And because now it's legal. Just want to give it a run.
Send me that cash up, fam.
And I'll let you know with all these picks that we just handed out how much fun I actually have with this.
I hope it's a blast.
Yeah, I guess I'm rooting against Rory McIlroy now.
Yeah.
That's the least fun part about it, that given these guys I have at the top, these are some big names. We're rooting against Scotty Scheffler and rooting against Rory. And Wyndham Clark. I have a personal vendetta against Wyndham Clark, and here it is. You're going to be one of the favorites at the Masters when you've never played the course before. Oh, we got it. You were pretty hot last year. Cool. And on top of that, you won the U.S. Open and then you didn't play the Wyndham Championship. Your name's Wyndham. Okay.
Josh, you know, Wyndham himself does not set the odds on.
I know. I'm not saying it's fair, but
you're
going to
hold it against him.
you're saying, but your name's Wyndham and you don't play the Wyndham Championship.
That's fair.
That's terrible. And then I just don't like the fact that your odds are that great and you've never played the tournament before. So I don't want to see him win the first time he plays at Augusta, just out of respect to the tournament. That's all
see,
I feel.
I think this is my issue with the betting. Now you have rooting interests.
Ah, I'm not used to having like rooting interests.
Because like for sake of the story, he's never played it.
Rory.
If he wins it, it'd be great.
There's not a greater story than Rory, unless Tiger.
Right. And Rory rhymes with story. So
that's worse than all the holiday puns I've done today. But speaking of that, I'm going to use that as a segue to get us back to baseball. Is Wake Baseball back? That's a normal question that we'll ask Darren Vaught before we answer unusual questions. Next.
You're on the drive with Josh Gray.
Since I've got my Orioles polo on, got to work the Orioles into a question here with Jackson Holliday making his Major League debut tonight. However, we're also in Winston-Salem as well, where right down the road against a top 20 team last night, Wake Forest clobbered Coastal Carolina, won 5 in a row. Nick Kurtz, 6 home runs in a 7 at-bat span. Darren Vaught, you know, ACC baseball, et cetera, podcast, voice of USA baseball, all that, lottery boy, a professor, very long resume. What are you more excited about today? Jackson Holliday and his big league debut, or what Wake Forest has done?
I think with both, there's more of a long view than simply the right now, which is what makes both of them exciting. For purposes of today, I'm excited to see the lineup card and see Jackson Holliday's name in it for the Orioles. Because
he's batting ninth, he's at second base.
There you go. All right, he's in it. So I'm in it. Right. That's what that means. I'm in it, and he's probably going to get an extra base hit because that's what Jackson Holliday does at every level. It's exciting, and it'll be cool. He's wearing number 7. It's the first Oriole to wear number 7 since Cal Ripken Sr. It's just a really cool piece of it. And having seen Jackson at the amateur level with USA Baseball and sort of all of the buzz around him to this point, I think it says a lot that he started the year in the minors when we all could have figured out it wouldn't take him long to get back up. He could have easily started at the big league level.
Yeah, we were scouting him. We were scouting him last year, and we can confirm that scouting analysis that he looked like he had some things figured out.
Yeah. I mean, the dude, he can hit. And even last year, like, you could tell, okay, he's a kid. He's 18, 19 years old at that
time. That's the other piece of it. He stood out on the field the way he played by how much he toyed with people. But also, he looked like a 12-year-old out there compared to all the minor leaguers. And yet still crushed.
Yeah. So he's put on some considerable weight and muscle. He looks a bit more like an adult. And as that becomes truer and truer, it is safe to say that the dude is going to mash. And he's in a starting lineup. And he's 20 years old. And he's in a really, really good lineup. And he's going to play for a team that's going to be really competitive in the AL this year. So it's fun.
Is Wake Baseball back?
I think they're well on their way to being back. This was a team that, as most know, number one preseason ranking. They lost their first couple of ACC series, but it was against other good ACC teams. And they had some injuries that they needed to work out, particularly on the back end of the pitching staff. They've got some relievers back in. They actually are still awaiting some more guys to get healthier. But Nick Kurtz was banged up for a little bit. He's back. You mentioned his home run streak, 6 out of 7 plate appearances. He's now hit 11 home runs in his last 7 games. 11 home runs in 7 games. Saying it one more time just for effect. That's bananas. And it helps that he's got somebody hitting behind him who's hitting like 330 with 12 bombs. Like, there's no getting around Nick Kurtz. So I think people are going to be forced to continue to pitch to him. He is, I mean, scorched earth right now. And the pitching is coming around. And they've got a really good chance at a win per weekend. We've talked about this about them all year because they have Chase Burns throwing once a weekend. And you know, if that's a guarantee, the lineup is going to hit the way that it's hitting. They still have Josh Hartle and Mike Massey as their two other starters who are potential first round draft picks. We might look up in a couple of weeks, and yes, they might be everything we thought they were going to be.
Yeah, it's bananas. BANANAS. Darren Vaught, he's hanging out with us here. Unusual questions are the types of questions we'll ask now.
Last week, guys, everybody made it out that I got mad at Josh and I left the press conference. That's not right. I thought it was an unusual question, and it's okay.
It's time for Unusual Questions with Josh Gray.
I've actually got two. I got two. I feel like Gary Busey in Point Break. Give me two! Utah, give me two! Give me two. Last night was the Masters Champions Dinner. And usually, well, it's not usually, every year, the previous champion chooses the menu. Jon Rahm from Spain got tapas. 6 tapas options for you to choose from. Then had a crab salad followed by your choice of a fish from his native town in Spain or a ribeye. And a puffy, let me make sure I get this right, for dessert, puffy pastry cake. That's what he closed it out with. Darren Vaught, what are you choosing on your menu for your champion's dinner
for everybody to eat if you had to choose something?
Ooh.
WD, I gave a little bit more time to think about this. So WD, how about you share with us what you'll have?
So I already share that we're going to have a chips and salsa appetizer.
You child.
We're doing that.
You wasted white girl.
You, but Scott Drew on Twitter today, diffusing Kentucky rumors by eating salsa at a Mexican restaurant with some guy from a bank. You.
Yes. You're going to have different types of salsas, like, you know, for me and Josh.
Okay,
like,
we get it. Salsa. Right, what's
okay,
next?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Mango, marinade, cool. What's salsa. Next?
Great. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have breakfast for dinner.
Brenner.
Yes.
Brenner at the Masters.
That's right.
You're going to make Jim Nantz eat Brenner.
I am, and he's going to enjoy it. We're going to have, like, you can have your choice of.
I assume he gets some. I don't know.
You have your choice of scrambled eggs or
we
sunny
know what,
side
we
up.
We know what Brenner is.
But you got to have different options here. You get hash browns on the side.
I'm going to cut you off.
What we breakfast
know,
is.
We know what breakfast is. You don't
I'm
have to explain
to
it.
I'm trying to paint a picture here.
I don't need more picture painting. We get it. It's breakfast for dinner. Let me guess. You can get like a pancake with whatever you want in it. Like maybe chocolate chips if you want or it.
French toast.
Oh, French
or
toast.
Or waffles.
Milk. Maybe orange juice.
That's for you. The milk's for you.
Okay. I'm going to go to Darren
and
now.
And cheesecake for dessert.
I think he gave... For me, I'm a North Carolina guy. We're going to go pulled pork, chopped pulled pork with Krabby mac and cheese as a side. Since I'm from Maryland, we'll do that for sure. Or I have Maryland roots, we'll do that. And for dessert, we'll get like brownie with ice cream on top. There you go. That's my entree.
I can't get over Will...
Explain, guys.
Making the competitors at the Masters, like they dress up for this thing. It is
all I know.
It is
great.
A formal affair, and like you want to give them a continental breakfast.
To be fair, Scottie Scheffler did sliders last year, and Tiger did do burgers and hot dogs after he won in '97. But he was 21.
Might have breakfast burritos in there too.
Darren, what are you choosing?
I realize how this is going to sound for clowning Will just now, but like
cereal,
pizza,
I thought
donuts,
about that
donuts.
Oh yeah,
pizza and donuts.
Don't knock it.
There you go. The second question I had real quickly, because it was just a topic for the show today. Derek Brown, who has a joyous laugh, Panthers defensive tackle, got paid 4 years, $96 million contract. And he,
God, it's a good laugh.
It really is. Big guy, scary guy. He has multiple octaves too. He said his first splurge purchase was going to be a swimming pool outside his house. If you signed a 4-year, $96 million contract, what would be your first splurge purchase? I said a suit. I'd go either a suit or a car. WD said he'd go a house. What would Darren Bott do?
That's a good question. I don't like we've had this conversation before. I'm not a cars person. Like if it gets me from A to B, that's fine.
You're Kawhi Leonard driving a 97 Mazda.
Yeah. Dude, if it still works, yeah, I am. Did you make that shot?
No, I missed.
Okay. Josh, for those listening and not watching, just tried to hit. It was water bottle into a trash can.
Basket interference.
Very low percentage
There's
on
those. There's a green, like, what are we calling this? Like a stand?
Yeah, it's like a music stand.
Yeah, it blocked my, it goaltended.
Okay. Hmm. First purchase, splurge purchase is going to be, the suit's a good call because, like, it's something I can use. I don't like stuff. I don't like a lot of stuff. Maybe just like a, maybe like a music room or like a home theater.
Ooh.
Oh, a home theater is excellent. Or like a bowling alley. We can invite Kyle, the Amazon driver. Be great. let's get to your unusual question, Darren, because you told me earlier today, pre-show, that you had something good cooking.
Well, okay. So you wanted to talk about Jackson Holliday. And as we were discussing Holliday off the air, it occurred to me that there is an application of Jackson Holliday to this question. So last night at Motor Co. in Durham is a venue, I saw Small Pools. And this is a band who has done a collab with the Chainsmokers. and like they've been featured on FIFA. This is a big act.
Dreaming is the name of the song that's on the FIFA video.
Banger. Yeah. Banger. So this Motorco is a venue that, like, I'm not even kidding when I say maximum, you might get 300 people in there. It is a small venue. And as they were playing the set, they had elaborate lights. And they sound really sharp and tight and clean. And I mentioned to my brother who was there with me, it was just like, it's weird that they're playing in a place this small, because they're just sort of made for a bigger venue. So it occurred to me when we were talking earlier, Jackson Holiday, we saw him with the Winston-Salem Dash, and he was made for a bigger venue, right? We knew when we were watching him, he was made for this. So this could apply to music, sports, whatever. What is the biggest act you've ever seen in a small setting?
I saw Afro Man in a random dive bar in Greenville. Singing Colt 45.
What's that guy up to?
I have no idea. Clearly not a lot. He's in Greenville, America, doing that. Eloy Jimenez playing in the Dash was fun.
Yeah.
Luis Robert comes to mind, too. I saw Mark Normand, the comedian, in a very small comedy club in Wilmington. That was great.
See, part of the problem for me is I've not been to a ton of concerts.
You're not cultured.
But, yeah.
You haven't experienced things.
But I did see Evanescence in a small spot in Charlotte.
What was the small spot?
I think the Ritz.
Huh.
It's probably not.
Oh, okay.
That's, I mean, actually, yeah. No, it was kind of small. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a pretty big guy. Josh, didn't you see Fuel at like a random bar?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Great place in San Diego. My favorite beer spot in the Triad. And
so a brewery,
I just remember it was a Labor Day weekend and it was a Sunday night. It was like 7-8 o'clock. I thought I had the original idea. I'm just going to grab some drinks because we're off on Monday on Labor Day. And there was just an ungodly amount of people. And I wondered why. And then I heard, in my hand again. And I realized that either somebody was doing a Fuel cover or that was Fuel. And it turned out that was Fuel.
Because they packed stadiums late
the
90s.
Same venue, the same weekend, a year or two later, brought the Jim Blossoms in. So
see, I'm jealous of both of those.
Now they need to bring Bronson Arroyo in.
To perform Covering the Bases, his acoustic covers album.
That's it.
In its entirety.
Go throw the first pitch out at the Dash. Make sure you throw a strike if you're Bronson Arroyo. And actually, maybe pitch an inning for the Rockers and then play cover songs at Incendiary. That sounds like a great idea. All right, WD, I took the food question off the board. What's your unusual question?
So, with Jackson Holiday making his debut today, what athlete have you been the most excited about to ever watch them make their pro debut?
Ah, could it be college too?
Pro debut. But if you have something in mind in college, I guess we could go with that too.
Because I was at Barnes's first game and Zion's first games, and I was very excited about both.
Harrison Barnes and Zion. When we figured out that Zion was going to go to Duke, I did a deep dive on his YouTube highlights, and I told everyone I knew, like, he's the next LeBron. I was pretty amped up for that one. Pretty amped up. Although I will say this, people got excited for, like, Bryce Harper and Mike Trout. Mm. In that same sort of class generation, being the college baseball fan that I am, I saw a lot of Jackie Bradley Jr. I swear, guys, I thought Jackie Bradley Jr. was going to be in of the same ilk. Like, and he was a really good major league player for a while. He just wasn't Bryce Harper or Mike Trout. But I really thought JBJ was going to be like generational talent.
I don't think I'm being prisoner of the moment when I say that. In terms of a pro guy, this is the most excited I've ever been. Like, Jackson Holiday, because my team's good. They're investing. Like, there are real reasons to have good vibes for the Birds. And now you got Holiday, and he's wearing Cal Ripken Sr.'s number. And, and my favorite number is 7. Like, I have a weird obsession with the number 7. So I might even buy a jersey. I don't know. I'm spending a lot of money lately. Willow the dog destroyed my Orioles hat last night, so I bought a new Orioles hat. And John Dell said he might get something for me at the Masters. I said I'd pay him back. So, you know, spending a lot of money, but oh well.
You should get the jersey. Get the jersey. Wear it in studio.
Not a jersey. Not a jersey. Get like a real jersey. Now, I'm going to wait for him to actually do something in the pros before I get that jersey.
Okay, like, cool. So buy it tomorrow. Like, come on, man. Yeah.
I'll wait until September. And then I'll invest, because we have three number one prospects that I could pick between: Jackson Holliday, Adley Rutschman, or Gunnar Henderson, before you invest in a jersey.
How weird is this? Can this obsession with the number seven even be if you're not pulling the trigger tomorrow?
I just got to make sure he's good, okay?
He's going to be.
This is the Oriole fan in me coming out, where I'm not ready to feel inevitable.
You don't want you don't ready. Want. Come on,
there's
man.
My best friend David Rubenstein. Me and the new. I know it's a different time and it's a different day, but I'm not ready to feel inevitable about anything.
A jersey before September.
Well, my birthday's in September. I could easily pitch that better.
You
know what?
I'm going
to the Orioles in July. I might get myself a jersey then.
There you go. Don't they pay you money to do this show? Like, come on, you can buy a jersey yourself.
I can, yeah. I might just do that. I'm just nervous. I want him to do well. I think good things to happen. Darren Vaught, it's good to see you, my friend. We'll talk next week.
All right, see you guys.
It's the Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
If you'd like to give us a call just to tell us something good, 336-777-1600 is the phone number. Every week, it's something we look forward to. Weekly positivity, your opportunity to help lift morale across the Piedmont Triad. We've been doing this now for 4 years, close to it now. I don't like really keeping tabs on how long things have been going, but if you'd like the opportunity to give us a shout, 336-777-1600 is that phone number. We wanted to add a wrinkle to things with the Masters going on. So rather than whatever the normal Yanni-type relaxing music is, we decided a different type of music is apt. It's time for weekly positivity.
Oh, yeah. One time at band camp. Weekly positivity brought to you by Biscuit King.
Biscuits.
That's what they have. Lexington, High Point. Biscuits.
WD's gonna watch American Pie for the first time next week, and that's good.
Maybe I'll have a piece of pie while I watch American Pie.
Wow. For me, what's good is pretty obvious. Jackson Holliday making his debut, got my Orioles stuff on. I have a new Orioles hat in the mail right now because Willow the dog wrecked mine last night. And then my wife got mad at me because I left it somewhere that Willow could grab it. So it's my fault.
It is your fault.
And then she'd comfort Willow saying, it's not your fault at all. You're a good pup. Affirming that behavior. But Wake Baseball is really good. Jackson Holliday is good. I got a new hat coming in. Maybe a new Jackson Holliday jersey. I don't know. We'll try to figure that one out. I'm set for Merle Fest.
Wow.
Night one. Can't wait. Me, my mom, my grandma. We're going to be in good shape. Let's go to Josh and Clemens. Josh, tell me something good.
Well, this past Saturday was my 47th birthday, and unbeknown to me, it was a complete surprise. My daughter brought my 3-month-old granddaughter for me to meet for the first time that night.
Wow. Happy birthday.
Okay, so paint the picture for me. Are we sitting on the couch watching TV, or are we just hanging out? When did you realize you were being surprised?
It was actually a birthday party at my mother's where my entire family came, and they all showed up early knowing what was going to happen. And I walked in the door, and my brother grabbed me and told me to come in the main living room, and he said he had a surprise for me, and she was standing there holding her.
Did you cry?
A little bit.
That's awesome. Thank you for the call, Josh. Love that. You'll also love that my wife just wrote in the YouTube comments with a avatar of Willow the dog. This is the best selling point to get on YouTube and in our replies. Confirmed. See, sometimes she'll jump in there to refute some of the things I say.
That's right.
This is a rare instance that she'll say, nope, that's exactly how it happened. And here's how you know that it's my wife in the chat. Her handle is Josh Graham's wife. Let's go. Actually, Will, tell me something good with you. I forgot to ask. My bad.
Well, since you wanted to take it to baseball, the Yankees, they're the first team to 10 wins. They've got the best record in baseball. I forget. They're one of the fastest teams to get to 10 wins. And however long it is, I forget the stat.
Stop it. There are teams every other year that are 10-0.
Yeah, but the Yankees, man, they're one of a few.
It's okay. You haven't won a title in 15 years. You and I are in similar boats.
And then also, I went to my first yard sale of the year this weekend.
Capitalism.
I did. I found a bunch of...
What'd you get?
I found a bunch of vintage Star Wars toys from the 90s.
Wow.
That I got for like just a few bucks, and they're going to make me quite a few more than that. Some board games, some sporting equipment. It was just hog heaven.
How much money did you spend at this yard sale?
Like $15, and I'm probably going to make 100 some.
Capitalist.
Biscuits.
Let's go to Kyle, the Amazon driver. Hi, Kyle.
Hello, friends. Oh. Happy Masters Week, and also happy World Series of Bowling Week. But I have a couple things I want to rattle off real quick as far as good news is concerned. Number one in my heart and number one on this list, I want to wish a happy anniversary to my lovely wife, Bree.
We are on our fourth year.
Absolutely. Fourth year of marriage, 14th year of being together. Number two, I want to give a shout out to my in-laws, my brother-in-law and my father-in-law are currently sitting in first dadgum place in standard doubles in the WSBC National Open Championships in Las Vegas, Nevada for bowling.
Wow.
And third, I'm going to give a special shout out to one Kyle, the AZM driver, for shooting his very first 300 game last night in my Tuesday night league. Thank you.
I saw the video.
What a ball.
You sent it my way.
Yes.
Walk me through your mindset. I'm going to go all Jim Nance here. Walk me through your mindset when you pick up the ball for that final roll to get the 300.
The mindset is to literally put as much rotation and throw the ball as hard as I possibly can. Because funny things happen when you step up on the 18th green of Augusta or the 10th frame of Buffalo Lanes in Mebane and you're working on your 300. All of a sudden, your knees don't work the same as they did before. All of a sudden, your hand starts to lose a little bit of feeling. So you don't rise to the level of your competition. I believe you sink to the level of your training. And you just try to focus in on your mark, and you try to hit that mark and just make sure that you have done everything you can to walk away from that. Even if you leave a one pin or a two pin or whatever, just know that, hey, I've come this far, I'm playing with house money now, and the 300 is just the icing on the cake.
It's live action, Tracy.
Congratulations, Kyle, both on marriage and on a 300.
Thank you very much. Have a good day, guys.
There goes Kyle, the Amazon driver. Outstanding. Makes me feel better to hear when things are going well or going good, as grammatically incorrect people would say here in the triad. That's been Weekly Positivity. Outstanding.
I like that.
The master's music makes everything better.
It really does.
Now, I think it's good for specialties. I don't think we should replace the Weekly Positivity music full time for this.
No,
definitely. It's not what I'm saying, but how great would it be if I just worked this into different reads that I do here? I know who will appreciate it. The clients more than anything else, the sponsors. Like, well, let me give you an example. See how this goes real quick. Try to run this one back. Let me get some copy. Do you have cracked brick? Concrete cracks or musty smells from your crawl space? I know I do sometimes. And then when I have those issues, I go to Tar Heel Basement Systems. They're here to help you find the problem. Help provide a solution for you. Because here's the thing. There isn't one size fit all answers for your home. Tar Heel Basement Systems has experts that have been trained for years to be able to recommend the right option for you and your home. And once their experts evaluate your home's foundation, boy, pricing, it's transparent, and your inspector will explain everything that goes into calculating that cost. Tar Heel Basement Systems understand your home is your greatest and most valuable asset. They have financing to fit any budget. So don't wait for a small problem to turn into a big expense. Go to TarHeelBasementSystems.com now to schedule your free inspection.
Wow, that moved me.
That's what I'm saying.
That really did.
Makes me want to go get some musty smells or crack brick in my house to have Tar Heel Basement fix it. I'm looking at some of these top groups. We'll pick the Masters in just a bit. Some of the top groups that we're looking at. And it's hard to imagine a group that's better to watch tomorrow than Justin Thomas, Will Zalatoris, and Hideki Matsuyama all teeing off together. Like, that sounds like a lot of fun. In the morning stretch of things, it doesn't really heat up until you get to Finau and Mickelson, who's with Sepp Straka at 9:30. A lot of people like Joaquin Niemann. He's from Chile. Russell Henley. Some are in on him as well. But Zalatoris, Matsuyama, Thomas, that's at 10:18 tomorrow morning. That is about as strong as it gets until you get to about a half hour later, where you've got Rory McIlroy teeing off with Xander Schauffele and Scottie Scheffler. That's great if you're a golf nerd and you don't need the biggest names in the sport, but love following championship golf. Wyndham Clark, Victor Hovland, Cam Smith, they're together. I don't know who Cam Young is with, the Demon Deacon, but I think he tees off later in the day. So while we're on the air, we'll see how Cam Young performs. He's with Sam Burns and Adam Scott, teeing off at around 1:15, right before Tiger, Jason Day, and Max Homa. But I love following certain groups. And Harmon Koepka, Tom Kim is a really good one as well to follow. Tom Kim having won the Wyndham Championship a couple of years back. Fleetwood, Morikawa, Dustin Johnson, probably the last of the big name groups that we have
just a few to follow when the Masters begins tomorrow. And we'll have updates throughout the show and certainly be talking about it as much as we've been talking about it today.